Okay, I'm ready when you are.
All right, go ahead. We go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Man Cave Podcast. Citizens, we are announcing you all. You are family. You are citizens of the Man Cave Podcast. Welcome back.
Yes.
We're going to hop straight into it. We want to capture you guys' attention right off the bat, man.
Yes.
Game two of the NBA Finals.
What I tell you.
Raptors, man. I have to admit. You are wrong. Let's start it now. Get into it, man. Obviously, game one, Toronto Raptors take game one, man. Huge performance by all involved. What's your take on it? West Coast Rail.
Yes. It's your boy, West Coast Rail. Already, game one is kind of what I predicted.
Yeah.
The Toronto Raptors dominated. The Golden State Warriors did not lead in any quarter. One through four, it was total domination. Like I said, the momentum, the environment in that arena for that country, first time in the NBA Finals. And I say that this, I think they're a little bit extra motivated that there is no Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant was on Golden State, it will be Golden State in six. The fact that Kevin Durant is not there, it might mean it might be Toronto in six. So we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, what were your takes on it?
Man, first of all, man, I want to, you know, give credit where credit's due, man. Pascal Siakam, what a night. I mean, this guy played incredible.
X-Factor
for sure. I mean, you know, when you're talking about leaving it all on the floor, you know, that's what you're talking about right there, man. I mean, this guy was all over the place, 50-50 balls, you know, getting a high percentage, good quality of shot, being able to just, I mean, really just being a team player, man. I got to say, for me, that was the MVP guy of game one, definitely. Yep. You know,
I agree.
This guy was unbelievable. You know, I mean, there were other guys that showed up. Obviously, Kyle Lowry, which I thought was going to be a major disappointment to the family. I mean, this guy comes out, you know, plays big, man, and puts the dagger in late in the fourth quarter. So, to him as well, did excellent. Obviously, I mean, you got the man Kawhi Leonard, the Claw. You know, he did what he does best, putting up points, putting up defensive stops. Yeah. But Pascal Siakam, man, I mean,
X-Factor,
you know, had a big chase down block early in the game. I mean, this guy was just incredible. Outstanding.
We'll see what he does in game two. I think Pascal Siakam with the 32 points, which is, you know, no one expected him to go 32. That's like Kyrie number right there. Kawhi. That's the Kawhi point average. You know, he's scoring about 30 to 32 points per game. So I would expect that Kawhi would be doing that. But Pascal, that's even better for me in my mind because I mean if Siakam could give me I don't think he's gonna score 32 in game two. But if he can give me 20-10, I mean I can take that all day. I think he can do that, especially against Draymond. This championship, in my mind, is the Toronto Raptors to lose. They have the better team chemistry. They're just a little bit more dialed in than the Golden State Warriors.
I want to gauge you on this, man. I want to emphasize this point to you that there was only one man that played more minutes on the Toronto Raptors team, and that's Kawhi Leonard. Yeah. You know, what do you think that says about Pascal Siakam? You know, are they looking at him more as not just a newer guy on the team, but as a leader, a team leader? I mean, this guy, I mean, come on. Like you said, 32 points, 14 for 17 from the field?
I can't say this is not who he is, but he has not proven to be that consistent just yet. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, no, this is Kawhi's team right here. This is completely Kawhi's team. This is Kawhi country. You know, all of Canada is following Kawhi right now. Kawhi is getting paid right now. This is about Kawhi's money right about now. In my mind, if he wins a championship for that organization, he is now the Jordan of that organization, and he will get paid like so. He will probably end up having the highest contract in the NBA by the Toronto Raptors, and that will be well-deserved, and Toronto will be, you know, will be one of the main focuses to any free agent. In my opinion, if I had an opportunity to be with the Toronto Raptors, I would choose the Toronto Raptors. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, like we spoke before, I believe that Kawhi Leonard staying with the Toronto Raptors might be the smartest decision he'll ever make in his career. My reason being simply, when you think about the markets for basketball, you have a lot of cities like California, Texas, you know, New York, with multiple teams that kind of feed off of each other's potential as far as being in the money market. And in Toronto, right now, Kawhi Leonard, especially after they lost the Vancouver Grizzlies, no longer there. You know, they're the sole NBA presence in the entire country of Canada. He has untapped potential to make a big name for himself and even a bigger amount of money. I mean, this guy can make the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. He can do whatever he wants to in Toronto. You know, they might even name him the prime
minister. They might do that. I mean, trust me, he won't have to pay for a meal ever in Toronto. That's it. No. Go anywhere, any club, any lounge, anything, do whatever he wants. Why ever leave? The healthcare is way better in Canada. So, I mean, why would I want to? Come on, I'm not trying to leave here. I understand I don't like the cold weather, but Kawhi doesn't care about any of that. He is like, if you got the money, I will be in Alaska playing ball if they pay me enough money.
Well, of course, right. And he's got a good nickname, the Claw. I mean, they could use that out there with the
band. Raptor, the Raptor and the Claw.
I'm pretty sure they're going to open up a restaurant. Oh, you know,
exactly. All seafood, baby.
They're going to do a big for him out there, man. And, you know, I have to ask you, man, how do you feel about the confrontation between Drake and the Golden State Warriors, in particular Draymond Green?
That was staged. Draymond went over there. Basically, I think Drake taunted Draymond. And then by the end of the time, Drake was like, "You're trash." I was like, "Come on now." I said, "I'll be like, Negro, I'm on the court. I don't know, you on the sideline wishing you could be on the court. Don't ever tell me I'm trash, man. I'm making just enough money as you are. So don't get it twisted now."
Is Drake the new Spike Lee?
Yes, I mean, for Toronto. You know, he is Toronto Spike Lee, that's for sure.
My only problem with everybody saying Drake's the new Spike Lee is the difference is Spike Lee travels.
I agree.
Spike Lee don't just go to home games. Spike Lee goes to the away games. And I know for probably a fact we're not going to see Drake in Golden State.
He's going to stay in Toronto, I don't know.
Have some performances. Well, he hasn't traveled with them so far. Though. He's been doing all the home games.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to get a four-seat. If you want to be the next Spike
Lee, Drake, you have to travel.
I don't know if he's going to get a four-seat.
Drake can get a floor seat anywhere. I mean, but come on. If you're thinking about Spike Lee, his presence, I mean, being on the away side, you have to be there in order to, if you're going to be giving all your presence at home, making sure that they're winning, giving them that little competitive edge with the hype on the side, you got to do the same thing away. I think it is more valuable, more important.
I mean, I agree, but Drake's a busy man, so you can't put that on him. He is, you know, he is the top artist out there in the country right now, so he has to.
Right.
He has to be on the go, but right now I know he's like, hey, whenever there's a home game, I'm there. Regardless of what my schedule looks like, I will cancel. Right. I will reschedule, do whatever I have to make sure I'm at home. They want to win the trophy. They want to win either game six or game seven at Toronto. That's what the real plan is. So do I expect Toronto to sweep the Golden State Warriors? Hell no. I expect the Golden State Warriors in Golden State to win all three games, to be honest with you. And then all of a sudden, see it, when they come back to Toronto, is when I think it's going to shut it down. If Toronto can win game six, they will win game seven, and it will be over. Period.
Okay. Yeah, I can't debate with that. The only thing I can say is that there's a good chance, right, that Steve Kerr is going to come out of the gate. He's going to make some adjustments in game two. I mean, it's going to be a fight for their lives, man. I think game two is going to be a fight for their lives. You know, obviously Golden State knows some things that they did right, a lot of things that they did wrong as far as minutes played. You know, I don't think Jordan Bell got enough minutes played. You know, he didn't get enough shots up. You know, they played the heck out of Curry and Klay and Draymond. But you look at the minutes from then on, it looks like you had a lot of staggered situations. Now, Kevon Looney got 28 minutes, which was more than I thought he would get, but like I told you in the previous show, he's an important part of their offense and their defense. What he does, and he just didn't have a stellar performance. Look for him to have a big game in game two. DeMarcus Cousins coming in under 10 minutes, like I told you, or, you know, like we discussed that he would. You know, but he gave him absolutely no production. I mean, 0-for-2 from the field, 0-for-1 from the 3-point line.
He's gave him three free throws.
Yeah, he gave him three free throws. So he contributed 3 points, you know what I'm saying? He's in the negative right now for me. Like I said, he's just one of those puzzle pieces that don't fit.
I understand that, but I still think that Cousins is still a good fit for Golden State. With Looney getting 28 minutes, I don't think that that was smart. Not unless if Jordan Bell in foul trouble, I don't believe so. Yeah, no personal fouls. I'm not directing 28 minutes to Looney off the bench. That's starting minutes in my mind. I'm not doing that to him. I don't want to wear him out at all. You know what I'm saying? Because that might mess with your point production. You know how tired you are. You can say, I'm playing 28 minutes. Then I'm not getting paid like I need to be playing 28 minutes. I mean, goodness gracious. Can you help me out? We got DeMarcus Cousins here. We need to be able to, you know, play him a little bit more.
Well, my question is, you know, not playing Andrew Bogut, you know, that was Steve Kerr's call. And, you know, I'm interested to find out why. I want to know why would you not play a guy who's won championships with you that knows the chemistry of the team. I mean, and this is, you know, he played on this exact team without Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know, why not play a guy that knows the feel of being in the pressure in the moment, that actually has played big and gave you big
moments? Yeah, I mean, that's
good defensive
coach's spot. Decision. So we'll see. I mean, I don't, we're not there to ask those questions. So all we can do is speculate. It might be a team rule or something like that, why he didn't play. But we'll see if game two he has to play. If he doesn't play, there's a problem. If you don't play two games in a row, there's a problem. We don't know if you'll ever play in the Golden State Warrior uniform again because of that. So we'll see.
That being said, man, we got to move on into our next segment. Taps. Free agency for the 2019-2020 season. Obviously we were talking about the Knicks previously, man. How do you feel about the Knicks cap space, where it puts them in position to move forward, being as though they are at the top of Mount Rushmore as far as having available cap
space? Yes, they are. The Knicks are, let me just give you the top five teams that have cash space in the NBA this offseason. Number one is the New York Knicks with $74.5 million. Number two is the LA Clippers with $61.7 million. Number three, Sacramento Kings, $58.7 million. Number four, Brooklyn Nets, $54.6 million. Number five is the Atlanta Hawks, ATL, all day with $53.4 million. With that being said, obviously the king of the crop is the New York Knicks, and they're reportedly going to give Kevin Durant whatever he wants. So Kevin Durant is right now not playing in Golden State, and I'm pretty sure his agent doesn't want him to play for Golden State, because if Kevin Durant gets hurt, that money goes out the window. So it's all about what do you do? I mean, what are you doing that you know predicament? Do you play through whatever injury you're going through to help you win another championship, or do you save yourself so that you can get a $100+ million contract with the New York Knicks?
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you're the New York Knicks, baby, right now you're thinking, you know, next 2 to 3 years, right? You know, the New York community, man, is such a hard place.
Yes, it is. Yes, fans. It is.
You got some of the most intense fans. It doesn't matter. You're talking the Yankees, the Jets, the Knicks, Brooklyn. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. Is if they're in the state of New York, man, you have to please them at some point. The New York Knicks have been getting disappointed, man. I mean, even with Carmelo, before Carmelo, with Amari Stoudemire coming, it's been bad for them. Right now, they're looking for the next 2 to 3 years. They're looking to suck this year. They're looking to make a big move for next year, man. Even if that just means making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know they're thinking Durant. I'm pretty sure Durant's thinking about them, especially if they are able to, with that cap space that they have, able to grab a superstar like Kevin Durant and a potential superstar like a Kyrie Irving, a Kemba Walker, a Klay Thompson, being able to. I mean, we're just speaking strictly unrestricted free agency, man. You know, there's a lot of guys that are on the table. You know, as we looked at the New York roster of who's on the books for next year, they're going to need a big man. Yes. You know, they're going to need a center. I like a healthy DeMarcus Cousins going there because I don't think he fits in Golden State at all. But, you know, I don't know if I want to ruin that chemistry adding him and Kevin Durant there at the same time. Maybe I go for a Brooke Lopez to fill that spot, a big 7'2" guy who can spread the floor. You know, I'm looking for the next 2 to 3 years. Who do I think will last? I know Brooke Lopez plays fundamental basketball. Yes. I think he'll last.
I agree. What about DeMarcus Cousins? I mean, he's a free agent as well. I don't think he's going to sign back with Golden State. If New York can give him a little bit more money, obviously he wants more than a 1-year deal. If the New York Knicks can give him a 3-year deal for $40 million, I mean, or maybe $50 million, but you know, I think if I'm DeMarcus Cousins, I'm going to New York as well with Kevin Durant. In my mind, the New York Knicks have to be smart. They want Kevin Durant. In my mind, Kevin Durant is a given. Now it's about everyone else. It's like, who do you want now? You need a big man. So some of that money has to go to a center. Whoever that center is, if you can get DeMarcus Cousins, not for a 1-year deal, but if you can get him for a 2-year deal, just to see if he can come back from injury and be somewhat like a DeMarcus Cousins of the past. If you can get something out of him, that'll be money well spent. If you can get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and DeMarcus Cousins, the New York Knicks will definitely make the playoffs. You know, how far they get is on them and their team chemistry, but they're definitely making the playoffs next year. So,
I mean, this has just got to be crazy when you think about the fact that we're talking about Kevin Durant. What he's going to do is a free agency. This man is an NBA Finals. Hurt.
Playing hurt. He ain't really hurt.
Hurt or not, I mean, this guy is, I mean, his rumors are at all-time high.
Yes.
Right? Rumors are all-time high, man. I mean, we're talking more, the world is talking more about Kevin Durant leaving the championship, I mean, defending champs right now.
Yes.
Golden State Warriors, man. And, you know, that speaks to the character, I think, of the guy, man. I don't think, you know, I mean, what does that say about a guy that, you know, is winning and people still 100% believe that he's going to leave that team no matter what?
I mean, because money talks. And it's just the way it is. You know, money talks. Money will make anybody leave any situation. You know, not any situation, but I'm just saying, like, money, the saying is money talks. And I'm sorry to say, the New York Knicks, if they're giving me all this, and I know I can get way more money in New York being the star of my own team, or at least a co-star. Mm-hmm. But if I can bring Kyrie with me, I will gladly share the spotlight with Kyrie. With no problem.
So you're taking Kyrie. So you want Kyrie and Kevin Durant in New York together.
Yes.
So I'm going to take the argumentative side with that, people. I want to see Kemba Walker, right? Hear me on this. 29 years old. Playing out of his mind this last season. To go somewhere with a 2-time NBA champion, 2-time NBA Finals MVP. I think he has a lot that he can still learn. I think Kyrie's learned it all. I think, Kyrie, to me, the greatest point guard in the NBA right now, for me personally. Mm-hmm. I think he has the best handles in the league. But if I'm building a team and I want to build chemistry, I want somebody who plays well with shooters, and I want somebody who actually, they penetrate, but they know their position well.
Right.
And they're not just looking to score. Kemba scored in Charlotte because he had no choice.
I agree with that one. And that's,
Kemba was out of options, man. I got to put up 50, man. Fuck it. I'm putting up 50 points.
He had to.
He ran out of options. He had to.
That's the thing about it, though. Yeah. In my mind, I'm asking you, on the argument of the side, who is better, Kyrie or Kemba?
It's got to be situational. I mean,
situation for this one.
But when I... So, I mean, even taking it back to the All-Star game, man, I just saw things in Kemba that I like.
I can understand that.
Kemba can just flat out score the ball, but he also is a great passer. Kyrie's got the handles. But he doesn't have the passing. Kyrie does have
the passing. Let's get this out there.
He can pass, but doesn't pass.
My passing.
But you got to remember,
bad,
well,
you know, okay? I can't take every shot.
But Kemba, I mean, more people missed more shots where Kemba was. He still tried to make them look decent. He was still winning games with a below average team with his major talent. And I just personally think, and sometimes it's not about who's better. A lot of times these teams fucking suck because they go for who's better other than who fits.
I agree with that.
Because DeMarcus Cousins is better than a lot of power forward centers. But does he fit better in that program than a Joel Embiid, than a forward
Brooke Lopez
able to see the floor? a Brooke Lopez, you know, anybody like that, man. I just think that, you know, it just doesn't fit. So Kyrie Irving, to me, does not fit with Kevin Durant. We saw that implosion with him and LeBron. I think it's the same damn story.
I think that Kevin Durant and Kyrie would work a little bit differently than LeBron James and Kyrie did. They're, in my mind, Kevin Durant is a better shooter than LeBron James. They're about the same. They're 100%. About the same scoring ability. LeBron James 100%. Can obviously drive on anybody, so that's not a problem. But shooting right. ability, scoring ability, they're both equal. In my mind, Kyrie Irving can see Kevin Durant, who he knows. It's all about situational at the end of the day. With what they had in Boston, you can take that mm-hmm. away, and you can put Kevin Durant and substitute him for Gordon Hayward or anybody. You know, it doesn't matter who you want to replace him with. And Kyrie passes it out to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is going to make it more times than miss it, which actually helped the average of your assists. So it's not like Kyrie doesn't know how to pass. It's just a lot of people weren't making shots. Kyrie does a lot for Boston, so I understand that part. But I think Kyrie
does a lot for
him. Is a champion. Let's just get that. That's what I really want to get to. Kemba Walker has not been to the playoffs, has not done it, has not won a championship. Kyrie has. If you're going to bring a championship to New York, I mean, you better go get a champ.
Look at the... You got to get a guy a break, man. I mean, look at the team he was on.
He should have left. Kemba Walker should have left Charlotte a long time
ago. Some players have more loyalty than me. No. Sometimes players don't just leave because the money follows. Sometimes they actually want to make something happen. And you got to remember that.
I don't think Kemba can make
Kemba's playing for a black-owned team. You know, he come from the side. I mean, he loves the area he plays in. His family's there. Why would he just uproot and leave, you know, just to chase rings when he feels like he is that damn good where he can actually make something happen for his team, man? I mean, if every good player left a team, you know, because they sucked, everybody would be on the same bench.
I agree. Well, that's ain't that how it's about to start looking in a minute?
That's why I don't like. That's my pet peeve.
It's about to start looking.
People
like
are leaving. They're leaving too soon. But you know, if you're gonna leave, I believe that you should leave and go to somewhere where you're gonna make something happen. I don't think you should go somewhere that you're adding to something that's already jumping and jiving. I mean, Golden State already was having a party, champagne every year.
I mean, that's true. They've been to 5 straight finals. I mean, so they are the new. The Golden State Warriors have subsided LeBron James. So LeBron James is first time not being in the playoffs, which is amazing to me. But the Golden State Warriors keep it trucking, and they're in the finals once again. So with that being said, I mean, it's going to be hard because you get into those type of eras where there's only one team in the East or one team in the West that is consistently getting to the finals. You are wasting time. You're wasting your knees, your ankles, everything on a non-winning situation. I understand what you're saying as far as you came from that mentality with the Chicago Bulls and everybody stuck to their own team and just got their own team better. That is how that era worked for them. This era is not like that. These new motherfuckers coming up in here, they are not trying to stay in no city. I am not trying to stay in Indiana, Portland, New Orleans. I'm just keep it real with you. You know, there are certain cities and towns that I'm not. Oklahoma City is another one. I'm not trying to stay in those cities just to build something over here. I can build something somewhere else. I understand you want to go somewhere and try to make something happen, but smaller market is a smaller market. That's just what this social media era has become. The small markets don't get those type of players, that type of luxury that, you know, you can do in Miami, New York, L.A., you know, anywhere, Houston. I mean, you can go anywhere else and really it'll be yours. You know what I'm saying? It'll be worth it. Make it worth it. That's all I can say. If you want to stay in Charlotte, stay in Charlotte. But at the same time, just know you're not going to win nothing. So, I mean, just keep working, get good, and then eventually you will. Eventually, every agent, every person tells that person you have to leave this situation in order to be better. In order to be considered one of the greats, you have to win a championship ring.
Hey, man, you guys heard it from Ruff, the man himself. Sir. We're going to hop into our third topic of the day, man. The Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James obviously there. Magic Johnson quits. Are the Lakers in trouble for the 2019-2020
yes,
season?
Yes, they are in trouble. Unless they get Anthony Davis. Now, Anthony Davis doesn't save you from anything, but it damn sure helps soften the blow.
Well, they have over $40 million to spend this offseason.
I expect Anthony Davis to rack up all $40 million.
So he's gonna take up the entire unrestricted.
Definitely gonna take up. He's gonna take up at least $30 million. There's no way. There's no way I'm not getting at least that much money. But at the same time, my bad. He's still under contract with New Orleans, so it doesn't matter. He will still be under contract. They just want to trade. Anthony Davis wants out of New Orleans. I don't. If I'm New Orleans, I don't know if I want him to go to the Lakers, because I don't know what the Lakers can give me in return. But if they can give me their pick and some more stuff, then I'm willing to make that trade. But as far as the Lakers go, everybody's out of there. Once Magic left, I knew they were in trouble. So once Magic was like, yes, people are backstabbing, I'm like, uh-oh, it's trouble. There's nothing I can say. Yeah. I don't know what to expect now from the Lakers. I don't know if this was the right move for LeBron. Hopefully it does work itself out, but I don't think there's a championship ring to be had anytime soon. I can't imagine that right now.
Well, I always thought that Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, these guys taking over these teams, man, and getting presidential options and president of operations, shit like that, man. I've always thought that that's just not good.
Right.
I always thought that that's just not good, man, because, you know, a big problem that Charlotte's always had dealing with Michael Jordan is that he never understood why these players weren't that good. why they don't do what he thinks they should be doing, because he's the greatest. You know, if you're not living up to that, he just doesn't understand. Magic Johnson comes into a situation with the Lakers where he believes that he's grabbing, you know, one major piece of the puzzle, and it didn't work. It didn't work. So of course, if you're in his position, right, playing good cop, hey, I got this guy. He's going to come take care of business. And then he comes, and it's your guy, right, that comes, and he doesn't do what the hell he said he was going to do. Well, that puts you, yeah, of course people are in the office going to talk shit. Hey, Magic said this dude was going to work. Look at this. Look what we ran into, man. Oh, man. Look at our record.
I understand that.
Look at we're not even number 8 in the playoffs. Come on.
I understand that. But it takes time. You can't expect nobody just to, I mean, I understand that. That's what their thought process was. Bring us LeBron. We're going to the playoffs. We're going to the finals. But they did not expect it. They did not think about this. This is the Western Conference. This is not the East. And you can't just cakewalk your way to the finals over here in the West. You just can't.
Yeah, but on paper, was the Lakers not even supposed to be in the playoffs at all? And even nowhere in the
I would have picked the Lakers over Portland.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? I expected them to be, at least be in the playoffs, yes.
So I think that's why, you know, the rest of the front office is having a problem with, and the back office as well, having a big problem with Magic's game plan, because it didn't work. I mean, I'm pretty sure he went in there, promised them big hopes. Hey, everybody says this guy's more me than Jordan. You know, look what I did for you. You know, he can do that.
That's exactly
right. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't think that he expected the turnout that it came, you know what I mean? So he's looking more into his next ventures and things like that. But as far as what I think that puts the Lakers in a position where they don't have the leadership of Magic Johnson coming into the 2020 season, even though he says that he'll have their back and things like that, you know, when we're thinking about the Lakers signing 5 players to a 1-year contract so that LA would have enough money during the upcoming offseason to chase a max free agent, they only paid Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, and Michael Beasley. So, I mean, and you know, those 5 players, they performed terrible last year. Yes. All of them. So, you know, you've already sacrificed 5 of some of the worst players that you have on the team that... You know what I'm saying? You're paying them 1-year deals. I mean, you're wasting space. You're wasting – you could just be going to get somebody else, in my opinion. But, hey, I don't do the logistics for you. But you're hurting yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you're all these guys are ranked in the last on the team, the last in the league in defensive ratings, offensive ratings, on off the court summaries. So I think they're in probably one of the worst positions they've ever been in, even with – what people call as the greatest player today. So
I agree with that one. I just think that LeBron James, with people not wanting to play with LeBron James, also has to come into factor here. I mean, I think LeBron James, if LeBron James were desirable to play with, I think that the Lakers would have no problem with filling their roster. I think they'll still fill it. There's somebody, maybe DeMarcus Cousins might go to L.A. You know what I'm saying? Hey, why not? You know what I'm saying? I think that they're going to have to gamble on a player like that than they are, because Kyrie's not coming over there. Kevin Durant's not coming over there. It looks like Kawhi Leonard's not coming over there. So, you know, your chance at those type of players have dwindled now. So now it's just like you have to make sure you can go out and get some type of spicy name. There's going to be some type of hot name out there. Kimbo might even go. If you think about it, Kimbo might come over to L.A. and help out LeBron somehow. Yeah. And I think that that might work itself out as well. So look for stuff like that. Don't, you know, I don't think that there's any, maybe even Clay. We'll see about that, but we'll see. Yeah. You know, it's all about how they spend their money. I think that, like I said, Klay Thompson's dad played for the Lakers. So I think that, you know, that might be an enticing figure that, you know, he might need to check out Klay Thompson to L.A. with LeBron. I think it might work itself out.
Yeah. I mean, only JaVale McGee was even able to hold his own assignment on defense, you know, in those last five players, to where he was the only guy that actually held up his end of the bargain on the contract to play defense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I give JaVale McGee more leeway than the other four. But I have a question for you. This is going to be my last question on this topic. So we know that it's difficult, right, for players who are on a one-year deal to put their team's needs before their own, because, you know, they got to pad their stats. They got to make sure they're having an outstanding year for the next contract. Yeah. So guess what? Here comes a little bit of selfishness. Here comes a little bit of ball hogging. Right. Here comes, you know, the attitudes and things like that, which is why when you look at Rajon Rondo having problems internally, you look at, you know, Brandon Ingram getting into it, having problems on and off the court. You know what I'm saying? You look at that. I have a question. Is it that much harder to build on-court chemistry, or for a team to even form an identity to be able to play together and make a push for the playoffs when half of the players in the rotation are 1 year higher?
Yes, I agree. That is very true. It is very hard for them to do that. I mean, like you said, you're fighting for your life for 1 year. So, you, like you said, it's a little bit of an and one ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I need to score. I need to score 20 tonight, or, you know, I that's $1 million off my contract. I got to go, you know what I'm saying? I got to go get these 20 real quick. I can't worry about y'all. You know, y'all get y'all's off the rebounds, but I'm gonna throw these motherfuckers up. I'm about to these 20 shots going up. I don't care what nobody is. I'm Carmelo Anthony tonight. Yep. I'm about to shoot it all day. So
that's
it. It does kill a team. You're right. But they wanted to. I can't say they wanted this to happen, but those that were in there knew that this was gonna happen. They knew that, hey, we're not gonna make it. We're not gonna be here. So we have to put on a performance for every other team out there in the NBA in order to get a tryout or a shot to make their roster. And, you know, the L.A. Lakers are now just scrambling, trying to find what they can get. They're begging to get Anthony Davis right now. They're like, please, we'll give you 3 first-round picks. We don't give a damn. Just give us AD. And this, I'm telling you right now, if I'm New Orleans, if the Lakers give me enough, they have to sell their soul to me. And if the Lakers do that for Anthony Davis, I'll let him go. I'll let him go to L.A.
I mean, you don't – I think everybody's kind of learning from the Dwight Howard series, you know, in Orlando. Hey, man, this guy wants to go that damn bad. Let's try and get everything we can get for him, because I don't want this dude just sitting around sucking up the money and sucking
up
my time.
Basically, that's what he's going to do.
You know, and just dragging us down. That being said, though, man, if the Lakers do get AD, are you going for a long-term contract? Because, you know, a player signs a long-term contract, in my opinion, because it – not only, you know, it's good for them, they get to settle in somewhere, especially if they have a family, but when you're looking down the road, the players that you play with are looking at you as more reliable. Mm-hmm. They're looking at you as more of a dependability. You know, we know he's going to be here. I gotta learn with him. I gotta, you know, use him. And, you know, so I mean, if AD comes in and you sign him to a 1 year, you know, you're just doing the same thing over and over again. You know, you're not giving. And so when I think about that, I think about LeBron when he went to Cleveland and he signed this is going to be, you know, the rumors, this is going to be a lifetime deal. But you look at what that did psychologically for Cleveland. They wouldn't want a championship because everybody bought into that, you know, what do you do with KD with that? And this will be our last point on the night.
Oh, with that being said, oh, with KD, you say you don't want to sign him?
No, with Anthony Davis, do you want to go short term or long term? Because, you know, which either one of those is going to have
long
an impact.
Term. I'm
you know,
going long term with Anthony Davis. I'm restructuring his contract. He's already under contract, but I will have him extended contract. So the LA Lakers have the ability, if they can get the rights to AD, to extend that contract. And I would make him, I would, you know, I don't know how much money, you know, I would actually sign him to, but I would sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal. You know what I'm saying? I want him for the long haul because I know LeBron James, his shelf life is coming. Whether he knows it or not, his shelf life is coming. He's, you know, AD is still a young player. He's in his prime right now. So if you can get Anthony Davis at his prime, he's automatically going to give you 25 to 30 points a game. So you can go ahead and have LeBron James just give you 25 points a night. And you already have 50 points. You just got to find a way off your bench to get 50 more points combined for the rest of the team. And you can do something with that. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's doable. But, yeah, I'm definitely – Anthony Davis is definitely going to be there for the long term. You need somebody in the post like him, and you just don't pass the – Anthony Davis doesn't come, you know, come around every year. He can shoot. He can do post game. He's super athletic. He plays defense. For Christ's sake, give him, you know, everything you got. You'll have two max players on the Lakers, and that's all you're going to have. That's all you can afford is two max players. Everybody else got to get it out the mud. So,
hey, well, you heard it, man. He's an Olympic champion. Let's hope for the best.
Sir.
You heard it right here, only on the Man Cave. Hey, make sure you guys like, share these episodes
all
that we're giving
that.
You guys,
give us feedback.
And tune in. Yeah, give us feedback and tune in to our next episode as we get into some more topics. We're going to bounce around everything, man. We're going to wipe the floor. So tune in to the next episode, man. Only right here on the Man Cave.
Let's get it.